for the world and the trees and the plants. Amen.
What's the best prayer you've ever prayed?
The third time that I was born.
The third time you were born is the best prayer ever. You've been born three times. If you could ask God for one thing,
ask God for Spider-Man Legos.
A Wolverine Lego thing.
I wish God that he gave me a Barbie kite.
Some flip-flops, my old ones.
You want your old flip-flops back?
No. Can we leave now?
Isn't that funny? I love it. Like she gets up there, God is listening. I don't know what to say. You take it. Your turn, right? I mean, why is that funny? Because we've been there before, right? Like, okay, our Father in heaven, what do I say now, right? Praying is just hard sometimes. And these kids, and I love being around kids because, you know, they just say it like it is, right? They don't sugarcoat. They haven't been taught to be polite sometimes. And so they say it like it is. You can learn a lot hanging around kids. You can learn a lot about their families too, right? You see what's happening at home by listening to them. But we're talking about prayer. We're talking about this conversation with God. In fact, I just gave the answer away because I'm thinking about it. But what is this thing called prayer? And so just review quickly. We said this a couple of weeks ago. Did you catch what the answer is? What is prayer? I just said it. Conversation with God, right? We're just talking with Him. We're just having a conversation with God. It's not super complex, just having a conversation. Now, here's the bigger question, maybe. What's the point? Why do we want to pray? Why do we want to have this conversation with God? Relationship, fantastic. If someone said, why would you want to talk to your friend? You would look at them like they were crazy, right? Because that's what friends do. We talk with our friends. We talk with our family. We talk with the people we work with and go to school with. We talk to other people that we know that we're in relationship with. And so if we're in relationship with God, of course we would talk with Him. It's about relationship. That's the big why. Because we want to be closer to Him. You know, speaking of relationship, I told you last week, just last Sunday, about my friend Dick Fisher, who was a prayer warrior and taught me so much about prayer. And then Monday, he got to finish his journey here. And now his relationship is not blocked by anything here. I'm so excited for him. He finished his race well. He passed away Monday. You know, Dick Fisher, he's been praying, building in, you know, talking to God all these times, but it was always through a veil, right? Through this block of being in a physical body and not being able to break through as easily. But it's removed for him now. It's removed for him. He can have that relationship wide open. Now, even in this picture, my friend Dick Fisher is still helping me. And so a quick little advertisement for plug-in fare. So what's he doing here? He's got the trimmer, he's knocking down the weeds around the church, right? And so today, you know, we're going to have this plug-in fair just after the service, and we're just giving you a chance to plug in, literally. We want a place for everyone to serve, and a place for everyone to grow. And so we've got tables out there where you could say, hey, I'm interested. And by the way, you're not signing your life away if you put your name on a piece of paper. I know you think that. And the reason you think that is because it's happened in the past, right? I signed up for something, and they expected me to be there every single week, all the time, and they never would let me take a break. So we're not saying that. We're saying, I'm interested. If you sign up, it's I'm interested, okay? And so, in fact, this is crazy. I'm even saying this. I dare you just to sign up for something, right? Just to check on us, to see if we follow up with you. You can call back and say, you know, Danny said to sign up just to see. That's all I was doing. Okay, fine. We'll let you go, right? But just sign up. I dare you to try it. Just see, hey, did they follow up well with these things? But yeah, so again, the temptation may be just to like just fly through there really quick and not get caught in the gauntlet, right? But just stop and ask some questions and see, hey, what's going on? Tell me more about this Bible study that I could be a part of or this way of serving. And we're trying to make it really simple. I've got another picture I just added this morning, actually. This is this morning. about 8:30. Okay? So I want you to see what we're talking about. So I'm kind of helping with the setup team, right? I'm excited. I'm like, okay, the setup team is going to be the best team in the church, right? Okay, some people are with me. All right. But I want you to see how this works, okay? Marcus was here early. He beat me this morning. Several guys were here before me. I apologize. Sean and his family. But here's, okay, so this is Josh on the far right, okay? And then my son Brady's right there in the middle back to us. And then out putting water in the thing for you to drink later, that's Brookie, okay? They're helping. They're serving. Let me just illustrate what I'm saying. Josh, age 11. Brady, age 12. Brooke, age 9. Look at them building the hospitality area this morning, all right? That was this morning. So anybody can do this, right? We're trying to make it really easy, a way you can jump in and be a part of it. And here's the idea. The same point that we have for prayer is the point of doing all these things, right? Relationship. As we serve together, as we work together, we become closer as a family. So we want to invite you in. Hey, come join the family. Let's work together. It's fun. We have a good time. So I want to encourage you, don't just blow past, but jump in there today and check out a small group, a place to plug in there, and a way to serve as well. So back to prayer. But why is prayer so hard? You know, we talked about how the girls, you get stuck. I don't know what to say next. I forgot. Why is prayer so hard? And I mentioned one of the reasons a second ago. The fact is, prayer is a spiritual activity. And we are in physical bodies. And so we're talking to God, who is not in this physical space visibly. And so seriously, if you watch someone praying, you're wondering, okay, what, is he talking to himself? Is he sleep talking? Is he, what's happening, right? Because it looks crazy. In fact, a lot of you guys who are achievers, like you're big type A CEO, we're going for it, we're going to like conquer the world, right? Someone says, hey, let's stop a second and pray about that. You're thinking, why would we do that? Instead of praying, let's do something, right? Because prayer doesn't feel like doing anything. But in fact, we're breaking through into the spiritual realm, and we're doing spiritual work when we pray. It's a huge deal. It's a huge task, and it's hard because of that, because we can't see it. It's difficult because God is a spirit. When we're talking with him, it's not visible. We can't see that easily. But the second reason it's hard to pray is because the enemy knows how important it is for us to pray. Remember, prayer is about relationship. And he doesn't want us in relationship with God, because as soon as we're in relationship with him, we see how loving he is, how powerful he is, how good he is. And the enemy doesn't want that. And so he'll send all kinds of thoughts and distractions and ideas, and you'll start to worry about things, right? So you sit down to pray, and all of a sudden you think, oh, I forgot to pay that bill. Oh, I forgot to call her back. Oh, I need to write that letter. Oh, I forgot. All these different things come to your mind, right? Because the enemy doesn't want you to talk with God. He doesn't want you to have that conversation. So it is hard to pray, so we have to press in. We have to really work at it. As we've been here the last few weeks, we've gotten to know these things here, right? Now, in the U.S., where we came from, it's not like this. In fact, they're designed differently, and they don't have as high a voltage, okay? So in the U.S., it's 120 volts. Here, it's 240, okay? And so I've gotten stung or shocked by the 120, 110 before, all right? It's like, ooh, ah, okay, I'm awake now, right? I have not yet gotten to meet 240. I hope I don't, because I think it might wake me up even more, right? But they have something really nice here that I like. It's the little switch on the top right corner. We don't have those. I think it's brilliant. Because whenever you're fiddling with plugs and trying to get things right, what can you do? Turn it off. Turn it off, right? We can barely see on the top the little red line. I'm learning red is dead, right? So, okay. If I see the red, it's on. The power is there. But if I don't want to get shocked, okay, turn the switch off, do whatever fiddling I have to do to get that thing to go in there, and then turn it back on. Now, here's the reality. If I plug something in and forget to hit the button, what do I have? No matter what I do on this end, I will not have power, because the power comes from flipping the switch. And so whenever you see this little button going forward, I want you to think of this button as prayer. This button is like prayer, because all the things that we can do in our lives will not have power until we hit the button, and that is prayer. We need prayer to have power. When we pray, we see the power of God in amazing ways. And so I want to encourage you, pray. Have you been trying it? Have you been experimenting a little bit more? I'm not going to ask you to testify at the moment, but I mean, I would love to know. I would love to know that, yes, I'm trying to pray for 3 minutes more a day, for 15 minutes more, whatever. Begin to push in. Begin to push in and pray and talk with him some more. Well, let's do a little more review here. We've looked at this chart a little bit. As we're going through the series, we have different things we're learning about prayer. And so from the first phrase, we learned that we should pray how? Pray this way is what? Pray with identity. Very good. Our, we're part of a community. Father, he's adopted us as his children. And so we can talk to him with confidence. We're part of a huge family, and he's called us to be his children. So that's great. We hear the words, in heaven, hallowed be your name, and we pray how? Pray with awe. Like, oh my goodness, look how incredible you are. And may your name be honored and awesome in the sight of other people. So we pray with awe. The third thing, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray with perspective. Perspective. We realize this is about his kingdom, not mine. This is about his will, not mine. And so we pray these in these ways as we go through. Today we're talking about the next phrase, give us this day our daily bread. But before we do that, I'd like for us to say this prayer all together. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we do just say thank you for this incredible model that Jesus has put before us of how to pray. And so, Lord, may we learn and may we practice. May we do it. May we come to you. And Father, I thank you that when we are in conversation with you, you reveal yourself. And we see you for who you are. And that changes everything. So, Lord, help us to see you. Help us to press in and learn to have a conversation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's walk through this next phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. Just the one verse, Matthew 6:11. And so we'll start with the first two words there, give us. Up to this point in the prayer, we've had the greeting, our Father, and then our Father in heaven, and then three petitions. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. All three of those have the idea of you, your kingdom, your name be hallowed, your will, you. And so now we turn a major corner and we say something different. We say, give us. It kind of feels like, ooh, we shouldn't do that, right? So here's the question. Is it okay to ask God for stuff? Is it okay? Yes! Jesus is doing it right here. Okay, so Jesus is showing us it's fine. We get to ask him things. Just a quick thought. What did we call God at the beginning of this prayer? Remember what we called him? Father. All right, any kids in the room? Kids, raise your hand. All right, good. All right, kids, here's the situation. You want a cookie, right? You want a cookie, and you're going to ask either your dad or your mom, right? Who are you going to ask? My illustration is crashing and burning. We got lots of the one who's at home. There we go. So maybe different parts of the world are different, but I can tell you if my kids want a cookie, they're going to come to ask me, right? My wife is a registered nurse, and she's interested in their health. I'm like, sure, have a cookie. Dads like to give stuff to their kids, I think. Right? Every dad's different, every mom's different, every family is different. But the idea is parents like to give things to their kids, right? They want to give things to their children. And so whenever we say Father, he's like, yeah, I want to give good things to you. You can ask him for cookies, but that's not really what we're talking about here. But we can ask him for the things that we need. And so in Matthew 7:7, a great example, just a few verses down from this, Jesus says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. He's saying, look, come to me. Come to me in faith and I want to pour out blessings on you. Here's another question. Has God already given some things to us? Yes, absolutely. In fact, everything we have, he's given us. He's given it all to us. And so for us to come and say, hey, I need something, he's like, well, you came to the right place because it's all mine. Everything belongs to me. You know, we can't even give God anything back. We can't give it to him. We can return it. Have you heard this before? You can't give God something because he gave it to you to start with. You can return it to him, but you can't give it. He loves to give us things. And so the first life point, if you're looking at your notes, you can fill in some blanks here. Number one, when we bring our requests to God, we acknowledge him as the ultimate source. We're not just going to go and try to get it ourselves. We're saying, God, we realize it all comes from you. And so I'm coming to ask you. I'm coming to ask you, give us. But not just give, but us. And so we have, again, the plural word. Not just me, give me, but give us. It's a bigger story than just my own story. And man, sometimes we miss this. We think about just the things in my own life, but we need to expand our thinking to the bigger picture. And so in this, I just want to share quickly a prayer practicality. One of the prayer practicalities is this. In general, don't have your personal prayer time in front of others. Have you ever noticed this? Sometimes you're sitting down with some people and all of a sudden this person's praying and it's like, whoa, that was pretty personal. Whoa, that was pretty personal too. And there's a time to be honest and open and confession and so on. I'm just like, you know what? That probably should have happened before you got to this meeting and this is us now, right? And so, man, we need to have prayer time on our own and we need to have prayer time in a group. But it's important to think about the group. We, our, us, give us. And so we're thinking about more than just ourselves in this. And so then he says this, give us this day. Give us this day. He didn't say give us this week, this month, this year. He says this day. Give us this day. So if we only pray about this day, what does that do for tomorrow? We got to go back tomorrow, right? Tomorrow we got to pray for this day. And then the next day, we pray for this day. It's always this day. We're not trying to cover a lot of time all at once. We're trying to cover this moment, this one now. You see, sometimes I think we borrow stuff from the future. We try to get too far down the road ahead. And he's like, no, this day. Let's worry about this day. In fact, Matthew 6:34, just a few verses down, says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So just focus on this day. God's like, look, this is the one I gave you. Let's focus on it. Let's worry about it only. You know, one of the coolest lessons in the Bible, I think, on this was in the Old Testament, whenever God brought his people out of Egypt and into the wilderness. You remember the story? They go into the wilderness and there's a big problem. No food. No food. And the people start to say, we're hungry. God, we're hungry. And he says, okay, I got this. He says, tomorrow morning, go out and I'm going to give you the food. So sure enough, they get up in the morning and they go out and God has put food all over the ground. And they just have to pick up what they need. So they pick it up and they pick it up and they pick it up. And the rule was this. Pick up what you need for today. For today. If you try to get enough for tomorrow also, what's going to happen? It's going to spoil. What an amazing miracle and a whole different lesson because the Sabbath was different. We'll talk about that another day. But he's saying, look, get enough for today because tomorrow I'm going to send what you need for tomorrow. give us this day? Can we learn to just focus on what God has for this day and talk to Him about what He has for this day and not get so wrapped up about the tomorrow and the next week and the next year? We can't do much about those anyway. But if we'll focus here, we can really be excited about God's provision and see it each day. So here's another life point for us. God wants us to trust Him now. Now, focus on this day. Give us this day. And then He says, our daily bread. And in these three words, there's so much packed in, and we'll try to move through it quickly. But again, He says the word our, not just my daily bread, but our daily bread. So we need to care about the needs of others as well, okay? So here's, for me, I can tell you sometimes when I'm going through my prayer time and I'm following this model, and I get to this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, I've already had something to eat that morning, right? And so I think, well, you know, if I didn't have anything else to eat, I've had some daily bread, I'm good. And I kind of skip over this section. And just a few days ago, as I was studying, I saw the word our daily bread. And God said to me, Danny, are you thinking about just that you've had something to eat today? Or are you thinking about others around you and what they need today? And it was like, oh, I've been thinking about myself so much. What do others around me need? Our daily bread. Our daily bread. And then we have the word daily. We're together in this, not just by ourselves. Our daily bread. Again, not just for, not bread for a week or for a month, but for today, our daily bread. And this word is a little tricky. Trying to translate it over as daily, maybe another translation would be our enough bread or our sufficient bread. And it's the idea that what He's giving us is, it's going to work. It's going to do the job. It's our daily bread. I think about shopping carts. Okay? So this nice little children's shopping cart is pretty small. And I think that fits pretty well with this culture, right? Because in this culture, when you go shopping, you got to be ready to carry what you buy, right? Thankfully, some of these grocery stores have begun to deliver stuff. Hallelujah, right? But a lot of times when you buy stuff, you got to be ready to carry it. Because it's you. So, okay, I'm going to only buy as much as I can carry because I got to carry it. Now, what happens when you can only carry so much? What do you have to do? You got to go back sooner, right? So in the States, again, we have big shopping carts and we have trunks in cars, and you go and you put tons of stuff in there and you drive home and you take it out and you're good for like a month, right? You hardly go to the store because you put so much stuff in there at once. But here at Welcome and at Fusion, we're there all the time. We're having to go all the time. And what happens when you go all the time? You get to know the place. Right? You can do it with me. I hate that song. Do they change the song at some point? At Christmas? Chinese New Year? And then it goes back to the same old songs? Oh my goodness. But because I'm going so often, I know the store. I know the store. So whenever we go to God for what we need for today, we keep going back. And we get to know Him. We get to see Him in a whole new way, right? And we see that He's sufficient. He is enough. It's not about the food. It's about the giver of the food. Relationship. Relationship. He wants us to go back and see that He is sufficient. He will give us what we need. And then He says this, our daily bread. Now this one is really difficult for a guy like me. If Jesus just would have said food, that would have been better in my mind. Because food covers a lot of stuff, right? Like steak, right? And sweets and so on, right? But He says bread. Now obviously in this context, He's talking about what we eat. Things that we need to eat. But He chooses the specific word bread. Ah! Give us this day our daily bread. So he's saying, look, this is the bare minimum of what we need. Jesus is modeling, look, ask for what we need. So here's the question, just again, thinking this through, I like to analyze. If we already have bread, here's the question. If we already have bread, can we change this prayer a little bit and say, give us this day our daily jam for the bread? Because we already have bread. Thank you for that. Thank you for the bread. Can we have some jelly, right? Can we have some meat to go with the bread? Is that okay? Probably, but what's Jesus modeling? He's modeling the bare minimum of asking for what we need. You see, here's what happens. We start adding to this, right? Lord, I would like some Oreos. Lord, I'd like some Coca-Cola or some cool coffee or some tea. We start to add to it. And next thing you know, we need a better golf cart. And next thing you know, we need a better flat. And next thing you know, we need a better this and a better that, right? It just keeps growing because we're not praying about our needs anymore. We're praying about our wants, the things that we want. It's okay to say, God, if you want me to have jam today, thank you, I'll take it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But we leave that up to him. We leave it up to him. We don't say, hey, this is what I have to have today. Don't let the prayers grow into wants. And this really is about contentment, isn't it? Where we pray for what we need. In your bulletin, there's a quote that says, contentment is wanting what you have, not having what you want. Wanting what you have. It's contentment. I've got all this. Wow! Thank you. Instead of saying, I don't have these things. Would you please? Bread. I wonder how long a person could live on just bread and water. Dr. Peter, how long could a person live? Just bread and water. What do you think? What now? Months? People in jail used to do it all the time, right? They just feed them bread and water. Really, bread, we can get by on bread. So man, is this saying we shouldn't ask God for things? No, we need to change how we ask and think what we're asking for. Do we need this? God, do we need this? And so here's our life point on this part about the bread. Anything God gives beyond our basic needs is bonus. Do you know the word bonus, by the way? Y'all know what that word means? Sometimes I use words and people are like, is that a word from the U.S.? Because I don't have any clue what that means. Do you know what bonus means? It's extra, right? It's on top of. It's more than what's required. So anything God gives us is bonus. Hey, can we be really clear, guys? All of us are living in crazy bonus. We really, really, really are. Okay? Man, so many times. So the other day, one of our kids was asking, are we rich? Right? How do you answer that as a parent, right? Because these people have more and these people have less. And here's the easy answer. Yes. Here's the easy answer. And sometimes we lose sight of that because we think about the house we had back in this country compared to this flat, right? We think about how we can't buy this, this, or this, and we think, oh man, we're poor. No, no, no. Did you have bread today? Yeah. Anything nicer than that? Yes. Wow. I can't believe it. We are so incredibly blessed. And so whenever we come to God, we say, our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Now again, this is a placeholder. This is the only place where we're asking about material or physical things. In the whole prayer, of the six petitions, this is the one for the physical stuff. So yeah, this may be the place where you ask for a physical healing. Say, God, if you would, we'd like to be healed from this problem. Or you know our financial problems. You know our job situation, right? And so we bring God our needs. But again, we understand we're not asking for the greatest and the newest and the flashiest. We're going to be faithful and we're going to be content with just the bare minimum. Whenever we talk about giving us our daily bread, it's really hard to not talk about a guy named George Mueller. Back in England in the 1800s, he had a heart for the orphans in the streets. And so these children were out on their own, and lots of times the life expectancy was low because of the conditions they were in. And so he built orphanages. And the story goes that one time George Mueller had the orphans at the table, and it was breakfast time. And so they're sitting down, getting ready to eat, and the kids look around, and there's no food on the table. No food. And there's no movement in the kitchen. So the kids are looking at each other thinking, okay, where's the food? George Mueller sits down at the table with them, as the story goes, and he says this, Lord, thank you for the food that you're going to provide. He finishes the prayer and there's a knock at the door. It's the baker. The baker says, God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I was supposed to make bread for you. So since 3 o'clock in the morning, I've been baking bread for you. Here it is. And the kids are like, yeah! So he takes the bread and he puts it out on the table. They barely have done that, and there's another knock at the door. It's the milkman. The milkman says, my cart broke down just outside your orphanage. The milk is going to go bad. Can you take the milk, please? He says, sure. They bring the milk in and they have their breakfast. This is what you call God providing for our daily needs. And if he can do that for them, he can do it for you. George Mueller was an amazing man of prayer. He did not ask for donations. He prayed. One of the great heroes of prayer. He just believed that if he talked to God about it, God could make it happen. And this story is a great example. He knows our needs and he wants us to come to him and say, look, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you own everything. You own everything. At nighttime, we have a devotional time as a family, and we sing these songs. I'm going to get the kids to sing it with me. No, I'm kidding. I'm not. But one of the songs is, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns it all. He owns everything. And whatever we need, he can provide for us. And so as we look at the table to summarize today's part of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread reminds us to pray with faith. Pray with faith, confident that he can provide. He will provide exactly what we need. And we trust him for today that he will be sufficient. As we're moving into a time of communion here in just a minute, I want to share this verse with you because sometimes we think, oh, I don't think God really wants to bless us, but let's think for a second. Romans 8:32 says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We have to know if he was willing to give Jesus, his son, for us. Jesus died for us. If he was willing to give Jesus as a sacrifice for us, of course he can give us some bread. Of course. He wants to bless us. He wants to give to us. So as we pray, we can make our needs known to him, confident that he loves us. He wants to pour out good things in our lives. Can we pray together now? Father, I thank you that because of Jesus, as we heard earlier, because of Jesus, we're able to call you Father. We're able to be in that relationship. I thank you that you've demonstrated your heart is to bless and to give to us. So Lord, when the enemy tells us you don't need to ask God about that, he doesn't care about that, may we see that as a lie and just bring our needs to you in faith. You already know anyway, so may we bring our needs. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Father, I thank you for how you're going to show your power and your love and your goodness and your wealth as we bring our requests to you, our needs. Lord, as we celebrate now, as we remember, as we are thankful for your greatest gift ever, and we break the bread, literally, and drink from the cup, may we remember, you are a giving, loving God. We pray in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. I believe we're going to move into a time of communion. So yes, Steve, thank you.